Hello, everybody. Hello. Great to be back with you. So usually when John asks me to preach, obviously there's this backwards and forwards where he asks me to preach, and then I'm sort of always very keen and eager to know what I'm going to preach on. And recently, John, I know you've been looking at letters, and so John will give me like two or three verses. And that's been really good, because I've talked to John about this. You know, it's really good to have, when you're sometimes reading a preacher, to have a really small section to look into and to dive into. So I quite like doing two or three verses. This time when I asked John what to preach on, he gave me three words. I was like, John, it's getting less and less. But, hey, what three words, hey, you know? Your kingdom come. It's not just any old three words, is it? Your kingdom come. Might be very short, but it is very poignant, very powerful. And also, of course, there is the passage we looked at earlier. So I will be looking at that passage in relation to your kingdom come, the parable of the mustard seed. Because if we're thinking, like John says, if we're thinking, your kingdom come, helpfully, Jesus gives us some idea of what that kingdom looks like. So if you look in Matthew where that parable is, there's a whole list of parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like workers in a landowner who went out early one morning to hire. The kingdom of heaven is like the parable of the unforgiving servants. So a lot of Jesus' teaching follows on from the kingdom of God is like. And the one we're looking at today, of course, is the parable we spoke earlier, which is the parable of the mustard seed. Now, when I was thinking about this, I can imagine that Jesus's listeners, the people who were listening to Jesus speak, would have been quite underwhelmed by this. You know, the idea of the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like, you know, you'd imagine the kingdom of heaven is like a massive palace with or a vast temple. No, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Does anyone here remember Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Has anyone seen the TV program Red Box? So do you know what I'm on about? They invent this computer, called Deep Thought to come up with the answer to life, the universe and everything. Does anyone remember that bit? Life, the universe, and everything. So they want to know, these group of people want to know the answer to life, the universe, and everything. So they develop this computer called Deep Thought. And they say, oh, Deep Thought, can you come up with the answer to life, the universe, and everything? And Deep Thought says, yes, it's going to take a while. 7.5 million years. So 7.5 million years later, this different set of people go to Deep Thought and say, oh, Deep Thought, you know, have you got the answer to life, the universe, and everything? And Deep Thought says, I have. But he says, you're not going to like this. You're not going to like this. So, tell us, oh, Deep Thought, what is the answer to life, the universe, and everything? Can anyone tell me what the answer was?
42.
42, yes. The answer to life, the universe, and everything is 42. And I can imagine Jesus saying to the people listening, the kingdom of heaven is like, and everyone's like waiting in anticipation because this is Jesus and he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like, and I was like, shh, Jesus is about to explain what the kingdom of heaven is like. Yeah, listen. The kingdom of heaven is like, and it was like, listen. He's about to explain what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And everyone says, sorry, did you hear that right? I thought he said mustard seed. Yeah, he didn't say mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. So this, it sounds, at face value, it sounds somewhat underwhelming. People, they're waiting for bated breath to hear what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a mustard seed. But, of course, grows and becomes a tree. I think this parable, looking at this parable, I think it's a word of encouragement that something, and I've always seen that, something as small as insignificant as a mustard seed has the potential to be something great. I think as Christians, we tend to write ourselves off as being useful in the kingdom of God. I think we sometimes write ourselves off. And I'm going to share a bit of personal testimony here. I became a Christian when I was 18. I'm originally from, I'm originally from Coventry in the West Midlands. And I grew up going to Methodist Church and became a Christian in the Methodist Church when I was about 18. And in our youth group, there was a friend I had called Tim. And in turn, Tim had a cousin called Jason. And Jason lived in a place called Hinckley. I don't know if it's Hinckley. It's like half, if you're, you know, Coventry, there's Leicester, and Hinckley is like halfway in between. So he went to this church in Hinckley. And Jason was charismatic, outgoing, extroverted, good-looking, talented, clever, bright, talked, you know what I mean? Everything. And we used to meet up with their church. I remember going over and meeting at their church. And they were a charismatic church. They were a charismatic church with a charismatic leader and a charismatic youth leader. And to me, all the people in their group were charismatic, outgoing, extroverted people. And so I developed a bit of a, what I describe as like a mentality. I became a bit of an if-only Christian. If only I was charismatic, if only I was outgoing, if only I was extroverted, if only I was good at speaking to strangers, if only, then I would be of some use to God. If only I didn't go to a Methodist church, if only I went to a charismatic church with a charismatic youth leader surrounded by other charismatic youth people, I would be of some use to God. So I had this problem that I was an if-only Christian. And imagine God looking down and saying to someone, I want you to go and work with young people. And I want you to start a ministry in a church. And I want you to go to Africa and become a missionary. And I want you, and looking down at me and saying, yeah, if you could just keep out of trouble, that would be good. If you could just keep yourself out of trouble, that would be good. Because I didn't have this belief. I had this if-only mindset. And even now, today, you know, here we are, we're a smallish fellowship in Lee, quite a small town. Whenever I go back to Coventry and people say, oh, you know, you've moved up north, haven't you? I go, yeah, where do you live? I say, Lee. And they go, Lee. Where's Lee? And you say, well, it's sort of in the borough of Wigan. And they say, Wigan? Where's Wigan? And he's, have you heard of Manchester? Yeah, you're Manchester, you've got Liverpool. Lee's halfway between Manchester and Liverpool. So here we are, a little congregation. We're a daughter church to a church down the road there. We're in a little town in little old Wigan in Greater Manchester. You know what I mean? So it's easy to see, get into this trap of this sort of belief in the insignificance. If only we were a mega church, you know, in somewhere like America, because we know that in Britain, we're C of E, we're part of a denomination that people will tell us that it's slowly dying. We're part of a faith that is slowly dying. We're called to believe that Britain is becoming less and less, or the West in general, is becoming less and less Christian. So all this sort of acts against us, and you become an, you know, if only we lived in a country that was where the gospel is growing. If only we, you know, were part of a mega church. If only. So this parable to me offers us hope. It says even the most humble can play a part in the kingdom of God. You don't need charisma. You don't need talent. You don't need incredible wisdom. And in the parable, there are just mustard seeds. There were these little black dull mustard seeds, and then there were these bigger, shinier mustard seeds. And the bigger, shinier mustard seeds became something significant, and the little runty mustard seeds didn't become anything significant at all. There are just mustard seeds. You don't need charisma. You don't need exceptional talent or looks or wisdom or anything that the world loves and values. You just need faith. The problem then comes, of course, that people say, well, if only I had more faith. When you go, I haven't really got a lot of faith. If only I had more faith. So, quiz time, where else in the Bible does Jesus refer to a mustard seed? Yeah, thank you, John. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move and it will move. So we don't get out by saying, you know, oh, we need faith. Well, you know what? I've only got a little bit of faith. Because Jesus teaches us that even a little bit of faith can achieve great things. Truly, if I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So you can achieve this much with only a small amount of faith. We only need a little mustard seed to flourish. And with faith, we can grow. But this isn't about, you know, self-improvement. It's not about bigging ourselves up, growing our confidence. This is about advancing the kingdom of God. Your kingdom come. That's what it says in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. We can play a role in that. Our little mustard seed can flourish. It's also, I think, important to remember that even if we accept, yeah, we're little mustard seeds, here we are. We're more than a collection of mustard seeds. We're more than a collection of little individuals bursting with spiritual potential who just happen to meet together for an hour and a half or whatever on a Sunday afternoon. This church in itself is, I would argue, a little mustard seed. It is a mustard seed. So individually, we can see ourselves as mustard seeds. We have a role to play in the kingdom of God. But also collectively as a church, we are a fellowship, we are a community, we are a Christian community, and also we are in turn a mustard seed. We have the potential to grow. If you look at the reading that that John read earlier, it says that the mustard seeds, when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that birds of the air come and lodge in its branches. It's not just that this mustard seed does this amazing thing when it starts out so small and it grows to something so impressive. It's that it becomes a place of refuge and shelter. And that's an amazing transformation. It's not just about that. This, as a church, we as a church and as individuals are called, and we can be, because when we serve God and we are advancing the kingdom of God, then we will be a blessing to others. This church, this community, can grow and be a blessing to others, because that's what it says about the tree. It doesn't just grow, it's not just impressive that it was small and it grows. It becomes a place of shelter and refuge. So we, in turn, can be a blessing and a place of help and support to other people. So let's take a step back then, just go to those three words, your kingdom come. So this is right at the start of the Lord's Prayer. So many of our prayers can be self-centered. Now, there's nothing wrong, I've always argued, there's nothing wrong with prayers of petition, of praying for things. The Bible tells us to pray about everything. So there's nothing wrong in prayers of petition. But sometimes we never move away from that. If you think about it, if you communicate, or someone's communicating with you, and the only time they communicate with you is to ask you for something, that's not much of a relationship. So with your kingdom come, we're right there at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. We are putting God first, above everything else, above our needs, right at the start of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, that is the priority. That is the priority. Your kingdom come. And on to the next bit, which we'll be looking at next week, I presume, your will be done. They sort of fit very well together. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's the priority. The other thing I want us to think about is that when we say your kingdom come, we're not passively waiting for something to happen. We're not sort of praying, well, your kingdom come, who knows, maybe it'll come next week or next month or whatever, whenever. We're not passively waiting for something like a farmer in a drought who's praying for rain. He wants something to be done. He's praying about something. We're praying for the kingdom. When we say your kingdom come, we're saying in agreement. This is your desire. This is our desire. Here, today, now. Your kingdom come. We're not praying. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. We're not praying for some future thing to happen. We are confirming that our desire, that is what we want, that our desire and God's desire matches. Your kingdom come is a statement of intent. This is what you desire. This is what we desire. Your kingdom come. Let's do this. It's not just about passive wishful thinking. So like I said at the start then, your kingdom come, this is the most, sort of three of the most significant words that are ever written in the Bible. Three words that are integral to our lives as Christians. We're called to facilitate this, your kingdom come. We have a role to play. Like I was saying earlier, we have a role to play. We little mustard seeds can become great trees. God's kingdom, God can bless us. If we're faithful to him, God can bless us. We have a role to play in that. We're not passive. No matter how we see ourselves, we have that potential to answer God's calling. You may not ever be a minister. You may not be called to preach. You may not. But there are a million and one ways daily that you can advance the kingdom of God, and that we collectively, as a community, as a congregation, can advance the kingdom of God. It's not about self-confidence, it's not about ability, it's not about positive thinking. It's not about growing our kingdom. But it's about having the faith that whoever we are and whatever our circumstances, Jesus can bless us. Every mustard seed has that potential to become a tree. Amen. So just want to finish with prayer. Lord, we just give thanks for this community, this fellowship, Lord, that meet faithfully every Sunday. We just want to pray for the, just pray about that potential we have, Lord, both individually and collectively, that we can facilitate, that we can make, day by day, step by step, we can make that a reality. Your kingdom come, Lord. Even today. Even here. Even with us. Even with those people who think they are so insignificant. Those people who lack self-confidence, Lord. Everyone has a role to play in your kingdom. Every mustard seed has that potential to grow. Amen.